Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and girls and boys, and other humanoids. Anyway, we are coming to you live from our basement. I'm Emily, and that is
Elk.
But fun story, we have switched which side of the basement we are on as part of the agreement and contract that our mom made us write up with each other, that every few weeks we have to switch because one side has a window, but the other side has the heater.
That's true. But I'm still sitting in my hazmat suit because even though we had a sanitation department come down here and clean up in their hazmat suits, I don't trust them. And Emily was here before, so that's why I'm still in the hazmat suit. So if I don't sound so clear, that's why.
Yeah. I mean, I only sneezed once, but some people, not to name any names, are a little germophobic. But it's fine. We all have our beautiful flaws and the opposite of flaws. And that's what makes us human and special.
And I've been told this outfit is very slimming on me. So that's why
I'm sticking with it. You know what? You still pull it off.
See, thank you. Thank you.
So today we're going to talk about a book that we both read recently. It's called Hope and Other Punchlines by Julie Buxbaum.
And just to give a quick overview, the short version of it, it's actually a book that's about 9/11, which was interesting to see now because we already...
Too soon?
No, well, because we're already at a point where there is a generation that didn't grow up with 9/11. There is a full generation, and yeah, everyone expects that of babies and little kids, but kids, people who are... adultish, because if you talk about 19, 20-year-olds who don't know 9/11, they don't know that moment of when, you know, the planes crashed and the towers came down. So it's interesting that this book came out within the last couple of years, but that's also part of why, that's also part of it with its draw, I think. So just a quick, on our rating scale for how many pearls you got to be clutching, violence, we gave it a 2, and we'll explain that soon. Language has a 4, and romance, we gave like a 2.5, which we'll explain. Just straight out, language has a 4 because there were some F-bombs that were dropped. So that just shot the scale up and made us grab for all the pearls. We don't really explain that much more. Just gave a little short summary of the book. There's this kid's name is Noah, and there's a girl's name is Abby. And Abby was in a picture that was taken on 9/11. She's a little girl and she's holding like a balloon and the towers are falling behind her. So they call it like, oh, baby hope, that there's hope in the face of like of this tragedy, etc. So Noah's obsessed with finding the other people who are in this picture. And eventually we find out that one of the people in the photo is his dad, that they never heard from him after he went back into the towers and he went back to help, etc., etc. So that's kind of the basis for this. They both end up at the same summer camp and they're both counselors there. And Noah kind of ropes Abby into this quest of going to find these other people. And it is nice because they do go to find some of the other people in the photographs, which they know they're out there because all these articles and stuff have been written on them. But it is a nice, well, not necessarily nice, but it is an interesting glimpse into different faces and outlooks of 9/11. And then Vines, we did a 2, which I was talking about this with Emily. So Emily, you want to explain that one?
Yeah, well, so it's about 9/11. So there's violence and it does talk about people jumping from buildings and people covered in ash and, you know, the terrible things that happened on that tragic day. But it's in context, but it's a little bit of a different context than... like Lord of the Rings war, you know, between orcs and elves, because it's something that really happened. It's something that really happened recently, and it feels a little bit more personal than even like World War II, which is also something real and something that happened recently, but it's a ton of soldiers and battles, and you know that soldiers and battles are going to get hurt,
right?
But these were innocent people at work or just walking around, so it for especially a younger teen, because this is young adults, so especially for a younger teen, the idea of you're not reading about a woman jumping from a building, which is something you can picture, it might be a little bit more real. This might be a little bit more triggering, a little bit harder to read.
Right. And then also for romance, it's a 2.5 because there is kissing that happens because obviously Noah and Abby just end up hooking up because apparently if there's a boy in a book and a girl in a book, they have to hook up at some point. And then there were other things that you were saying, Emily, about where we had to push it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, so Abby works at a summer camp. Abby and Noah work at a summer camp. That's where a lot of it's set. And there are older counselors who are talking about hooking up with each other. And what Noah's gay best friend on several occasions talks about older guys. And one guy says, I want to have his babies, which is maybe someone should explain to him how babies are born. But I think Abby also makes a similar comment about, oh, I want to have his babies. So sex and a little bit of an older understanding of romance is there, but nothing explicit. Like, they don't have sex. We don't see people hooking up, but it's talked about.
Yeah, and also because sometimes teens do talk that way. Just certain kind of jokes or whatever that they make do move in that direction.
Yeah.
So I think overall we agreed that we sort of had mixed feelings about this book. Because on the one hand, you do have, it was, I guess it's weird to use the word nice, but it was, we liked the idea of the book that, first of all, it takes place with 9/11 and it made the story like real again, especially for us that we lived through it. But it really did, I think it really did bring home the loss and the after effects of 9/11 in a pretty good, in a very real way. You didn't have to rely, adding in the comedy element to it, or adding in the teen summer camp element to it, kind of balanced it. So you weren't relying on certain sappy cliches. You didn't have to trick us into feeling for these people in the book. But there was also, I don't know, there was something else about it that it didn't, like, I'm not, that I wasn't totally sold on the book.
Yeah. I found my biggest thing was that I just couldn't empathize with the teenage characters. And in fact, I found myself empathizing with the parents a little bit more, which was frankly worrying. I know, because I don't want to be so old that young adult novels feel young, but then I realized these kids, like, were born on 9/11. I remember 9/11, so I am really in a different generation now when I am a little bit older. So once I got to a certain point in the book, I couldn't put it down and I really enjoyed it. But to get to that point, to accept that the way that these teenagers were thinking was valid, because, oh yeah, they're teenagers and they're kind of dumb and this is how their minds work. Also, I was not that stupid as a teenager, just to be clear. I was very mature for my age.
Yeah, obviously, but
this is apparently how other teenagers thought. So once I just accepted that, okay, they're younger, they're going to do some stupid things that I don't agree with. The only thing that I had, like, a major problem with was that some of the plot was hinged upon miscommunication.
Yeah, I don't go for that either. Yeah.
It's just not very strong. And it's not, unless you've made it very, given a very good reason why these two characters, why this one character won't share something personal or why this other one can't talk to another one, miscommunication isn't good, because as a writer, you can make your characters do anything.
Right.
So why are your characters not talking to each other?
Yeah. It also just, it feels like it's not, it, I don't want to say it feels cheap, but I guess cheap, because you're like, all you had to do was give one more line of communication either in the dialogue or whatever it was, and it would have cleared up so much that some other silly stuff then doesn't also have to happen, because so many not good things usually happen when there's a miscommunication. You see that so much. The other thing that people also, they don't like when someone's like, oh, I didn't tell you because I was trying to protect you. I think we've gotten to the point where most people hate that line, where it's just, even though we do know that there are times we don't tell people stuff, it's usually because we're not sure how they're going to react. But in this situation, him, like Noah's saying, like, oh, my dad's in that photo, I didn't feel like that was going to change their relelationship. I think if anything, she might have been more prone to helping him find the other people in the photo. Yeah,
I did not. Yeah. I also want to mention, we haven't talked about it much, and it has, I don't know if it's come up in our other episodes. There's drinking. For sure the characters drink. And I don't think drugs, but there is drinking. So that's just something to also, I think, be aware. We don't have a specific rating for it, but these are not people who are of the age to be drinking, and they go to parties, and drinking happens, so it's just something to be aware of, if that's not the kind of thing you want to be reading or want someone you know to be reading.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Especially because it's in a very, like, this is what happens kind of way. There's not necessarily a big deal surrounding it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I ultimately liked it, and I think I would recommend it to someone because it was thoughtful. And you're right, I was alive during 9/11, I think I was 9. I think I was still young enough that I know what happened, but I don't really think I thought about the after effects for a lot of people and how there are still people who's, you know, don't have parents because of that, and, you know, their whole lives are, it didn't just happen and then end. Like, people's lives were forever changed and it's still happening. So I thought it did a really nice job of making me think about things I wouldn't have thought about otherwise.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest draw, because they're also, they focus on the one community that almost everybody in the community was impacted somehow, and that's based on a real community where that happened. And also because, what, it was a couple years ago, I think a year or two ago at this point, where there was something about, they were trying to increase the funding or continue the funding for the first aid responders from 9/11, because so many medical fallouts from it, that people who went running straight into the building when there's all these toxins and stuff is flying around, and that physically impacted them. So
yeah,
that's also a good thing. We talk about them as being, you know, the heroes who went in and responded right away, and that is a big deal. But it's also important to realize that there is life that happens after. There's a day-to-day life that happens after the big hero moment. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was very thought-provoking as a book. There are some pearl-clutching moments if someone really can't handle that sort of stuff. But I think it did serve its purpose of making 9/11 real again so many years later.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. Oh, we do have to talk about, this is a semi-pearl clutch. I guess it depends upon the person. So Noah's best friend is gay, which, yeah, he's gay. End of story. But he, a few times, I think twice in the book, this gay character comments on the attractiveness of older men, one who's like in his 50s and one who's in his 40s. And I found that weird and concerning. And I think it would be equally weird if a girl commented on an older man, or if a young teenage boy commented on the hotness and saying, I want to have his or her babies for an older woman. And I think teenagers really do talk that way. I definitely had friends say, I want to have his or her babies. Again, people should probably be taking more health classes to learn how babies are born, but besides the point. It was a little like, this is another thing about being an adult. Now when I read young things or books for young adults, they're talking about sex, I'm like, ooh, this feels almost like it's wrong because I'm an adult and they're kids. So, I found that like a little pearl clutchy.
Yeah. Well, I think that's also, we were sort of talking about this, part of why sometimes young adult contemporary novels are a little bit harder to read, I think, as an adult, because the way kids talk now, and you hear it, sometimes it just really sounds young. It really does. So if an author's imitating the way kids talk now, you're like, you're so, 16-year-olds, sure, they have a mind to really start grasping concepts and ideas that, you know, a middle grader can't, but you don't have the life experience yet to put any of that into, to know what to do with this vast, like, mental capacities that you have now. So when they're saying certain things, you're like, you are young. So sometimes it does make it harder to relate to them. But there was something about the dialogue that I did. I was kind of like, nah, I didn't love that either.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's Hope and Other Punchlines. I have to go. I don't know if you noticed, but I think your side of the basement is bigger than mine. I'm going to get out the tape measure.
No.
Just because you're older, it's not fair.
No, we'll use my tape measure. I have a good tape measure to use for it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it's really accurate, too.
Oh, okay, great. All right, so we're going to figure that out, and I guess we'll catch y'all next time.
Bye, everyone.